वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे दैवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वन्नीन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रकाः वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे देवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वन्नीन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रका वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे देवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वह्निन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रकाः वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे दैवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वह्निन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रका वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे दैवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वह्निन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रका माताजी एनीबडी वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे देवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वह्नीन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रकाः वैकारिकान् मनोजज्ञे देवा वैकारिकादश दिग्वा तार्क प्रचेतोष्वी वह्नीन्द्रोपेन्द्रमित्रकाः वैकारिकात् फ्रॉम द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस मनः द माइंड जज्ञे जनरेटेड देवाः डेमिगॉड्स वैकारिकाः इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस दश टेन दिक् द कंट्रोलर ऑफ डायरेक्शंस वात द कंट्रोलर ऑफ एयर अर्क द सन प्रचेतः वरुण अश्वी the Ashwini Kumaras, Vanni, the fire god, Indra, the king of heaven, Upendra, the deity in heaven, Mitra, one of the 12 Adityas, Kaha, Prajapati Brahma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Pija. Translation. From the mode of goodness, the mind is generated and becomes manifest as also the 10 demigods controlling the bodily movements. Such demigods are known as the controller of directions, the controller of air, the sun god, the father of Daksha Prajapati, the Ashwini Kumaras, the fire god, the king of heaven, the worshipable deity in heaven, the chief of the Adityas, and Brahmaji, the Prajapati, all come into existence. Purport. Vaikarika is a neutral stage of creation, and Tejas is the initiative of creation, while Tamas is full display of material creation under the spell of the darkness of ignorance. Manufacture of the quote-unquote necessities of life in factories and workshops, excessively prominent in the age of Kali or in the age of machine, is the summit stage of the quality of darkness. Such manufacturing enterprises by human society are in the mode of darkness because factually there is no necessity of the commodities manufactured. Human society primarily requires food for subsistence, shelter for sleeping, defense for protection, and commodities for satisfaction of the senses. The senses are the practical science of life, as will be explained in the next verse. Human civilization is meant for purifying the senses, and the objects of sense gratification should be supplied as much as absolutely required, but not for aggravating artificial sensory needs. Food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification are all needs in material existence. Otherwise, in its pure, uncontaminated state of original life, the living entity has no such needs. The needs are therefore artificial, and in the pure state of life, there are no such needs. As such, increasing the artificial needs as is the standard of material civilization, or advancing in the economic development of human society, is a sort of engagement in darkness without knowledge. By such engagement, human energy is spoiled, because human energy is primarily meant for purifying the senses in order to engage them in satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, being the supreme possessor of spiritual senses, is the master of the senses, Rishikesh. Rishika means the senses, and Isha means the master. The Lord is not the servant of the senses, or in other words, he is not directed by the dictation of the senses, but the conditioned souls or the living individual entities are servants of the senses. They are conducted by the direction of dictation of senses, and therefore material civilization is a kind of engagement in sense gratification only. The standard of human civilization should be to cure the disease of sense gratification, and one can do this simply by becoming an agent of satisfying the spiritual senses of the Lord. The senses are never to be stopped in their engagements, but one should purify them in engaging them in the pure service of sense gratification of the master of the senses. This is the instruction of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Arjun wanted first of all to satisfy his own senses by his decision not to fight with his kinsmen and friends. But Lord Shri Krishna taught him the Bhagavad Gita just to purify Arjuna's decision for sense gratification. Therefore, Arjuna agreed to satisfy the senses of the Lord, and thus he fought the battle of Kurukshetra as the Lord desired. The Vedas instruct us to get out of the existence of darkness and go forward to the path of light, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. The path of light is therefore to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Misguided men or less intelligent men follow the path of self-realization without any attempt to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord by following the path shown by Arjun and other devotees of the Lord. On the contrary, they artificially try to stop the activities of the senses, that is yoga system. Or they deny the transcendental senses of the Lord, which is jnana system. The devotees, however, are above the yogis and the jnanis Because pure devotees do not deny the senses of the Lord. They want to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Only because of the darkness of ignorance do the yogis and jnanis deny the senses of the Lord and thus artificially try to control the activities of the diseased senses. In the diseased condition of the senses, there is too much engagement of the senses in increasing the material needs. When one comes to see the disadvantage of aggravating the sense activities, one is called a jnani. And when one tries to stop the activity of the senses by the practice of yogic principle, he is called a yogi. But when one is fully aware of the transcendental senses of the Lord and tries to satisfy his senses, one is called a devotee of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord do not try to deny the senses of the Lord, nor do they artificially stop the actions of the senses. But they do voluntarily engage the purified senses in service of the master of the senses, as was done by Arjuna, thereby easily attaining the perfection of satisfying the Lord, the ultimate goal of all perfection. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Vangpangum Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Would like to offer my humble obeisances at the feet of all assembled Vaishnavas, all my wonderful god brothers, senior god brothers, Matajis, and anyone who may be listening to this. And definitely it's a difficult purport to speak on, very heavy purport. Prabhupada very wonderfully says here that how only absolute necessities should be provided to the senses. That's not really my material at all. I mean, if any new phone or laptop comes in the market, you feel like having it. And so there is no question of having the power to be able to live up to what Prabhupada is asking. And of course, you know, in today's world, and Prabhupada is saying here actually, so what Prabhupada is saying is that the manufacturing enterprises are the summit stage of darkness. That's a very huge statement to pass. The summit stage of darkness. So, you know, we are all talking about make in India and so are we moving towards summit stage of darkness or whatever? So, no. So Radhanath Maharaj often makes this point that Krishna is Bhavagrahi and a Vaishnava is Saragrahi. So, we have to take the essence. And towards the center of the purport, Prabhupada mentions a very crucial word. And we can try to focus our attention on that word. But before I come to that word, there is a small prelude. So, we will come to that. But I just wanted to speak a few things because it was a Bhagavad Gita marathon month. And everybody was reading Bhagavad Gita. Even I tried to read Bhagavad Gita. So I made some observations in my reading. As you know, everyone knows that Bhagavad Gita, every time you read it, you get some newer and newer understanding. And the text always remains very relevant. Prabhuji is here, he is gives many courses on Bhagavad Gita or Balaram Shakti Prabhu. What can I speak? But I am just making a humble attempt. So, whenever we in ISKCON we do book distribution, there are various stories of book distribution, right? And these stories have a particular pattern. So there are three patterns that I observed. Okay. So one pattern is called as a pre-mishap pattern. So pre-mishap pattern means you come across stories where just a big mishap was going to happen and Bhagavad Gita was distributed. Like one of our devotees, and I don't recall if it was Vrajvihari Prabhu or who, but they were distributing in Bombay Central Station. And somehow just, he had not planned to go into that train, but somehow he went into that train and did the distribution there. And the train down its journey met a severe accident. And practically many, many passengers in that train got killed. So just before they met their death, they already had Bhagavad Gita in their hand. And they read Bhagavad Gita. It's a pre-mishap story. Or somebody who is just about to commit suicide, or just about to end his life, or maybe about to commit some murder, and gets Bhagavad Gita in the hand. No, pre-mishap. Something is about to happen. So, and many such stories are there, right? So this is one pre-mishap pattern. The second pattern which I have heard is called Amulagra transformation pattern. I don't know Amulagra, what do you call it in English? Amulagra means like complete, thorough transformation. So like somebody is a hardcore serial killer. He comes at a bookstall, reads Bhagavad Gita, Amulagra transformation. Like 180 degrees transformation. The person goes to police station, submits himself after reading. Right? Then there are people who are like gundas. Their job is to always trouble people. But they also come to trouble devotees during book distribution. And then somehow there is Amulagra transformation. The person starts helping the devotees all of a sudden. You know. So there are such Amulagra transformation stories. There is one third pattern which is most oftenly quoted. And you know, it's the favorite pattern of most of the speakers or even book distributors or whoever. That pattern is called as a time bomb pattern. So time bomb pattern means what? The book is given. For many times nothing happens. And one day it explodes. And the person becomes a devotee. Now, each of these patterns, you know, they have a historical reference also. So like pre-mishap pattern, you know, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is like a pre-mishap pattern. Because Parikshit Maharaj is just about to get burnt by Takshak Nag. And he undergoes the entire Bhagavatam. So there is a pre-mishap story. Or even you can say the example of Maharaj Chitraketu. He met saintly people and you know there was a mishap going to happen in his life. Two mishaps actually. One, the child is died. Second, he's cursed by Parvati. But before both mishaps, there is a transformation which has already taken place. Right? So pre-mishap has already happened. Then there is a complete transformation pattern. Like, you know, the Murugari story or the Valmiki story. Right? The full transformation. Somebody is a gunda, dacoit, saintly contact, and immediately the transformation. So there is a history. So I was thinking, what is that time bomb? Historical reference for time bomb pattern. And I realized that the historical reference for time bomb pattern is there in Bhagavad Gita itself. Right? So how it is to be seen in Bhagavad Gita? The time bomb pattern. So then, you know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you realize that actually there are three listeners of Bhagavad Gita. Right? The first listener of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna himself. First hand. Krishna speaks first hand. The second hand listener is Sanjay. And the third hand listener is Dhritarashtra. Right? Three listeners of Bhagavad Gita are there. Okay. Now, two of the listeners, they are very special because of the reactions that they give after they have heard Bhagavad Gita. So, Arjun, his reaction is Nashto Moha Smurtir Labdha Tvat Prasadat Maya Achyuta Sitosmi Gata Sandeha Karishya Vachanam Tava. Matlab, what a reaction. In one verse, you know, in one verse Arjuna speaks so many things. So many things in that one verse, right? Nashto Moha. My Moha has been destroyed. Now that is an achievement. Which living entity in this material world can say that my Moha is destroyed? My illusion is destroyed. Nobody. Arjuna is saying, my Nashto Moha. And I have gained my memory back. Smurtir Labdha. Right? Why it has happened? Tvat Prasadat Maya Achyuta. Krishna, by your Prasad Achyuta, by your Prasad has happened. Now Sthitosmi Gata Sandeha. I am situated in complete clarity of life. I have full clarity. How many people have that guts to say like this? You know, I have full clarity of my life. Because everyone actually behaves as if they have full clarity, and then we keep committing mistakes. Because we are not Achyuta. But by Achyuta's mercy, he is saying that I am situated in complete clarity. And now Karishya Vachanam Tava. Because I have that clarity, what I am going to do? I am going to follow your order, my Lord. What a magnificent reaction. And then there is a reaction of Sanjaya. Now, I am not an expert of Gita, so I don't have all those verses memorized. But I have taken notes. So, what is the reaction of Sanjaya? He is saying, Ityaham Vasudevasya Parthasya Cha Mahatmanaha Savvadam Imam Shausham Adbhutam Romaharshanam. He is saying, Mane Suna Bhagavad Gita, Romaharsham, my hair are standing on end. Now, this is his reaction. It's like, sometimes we sit in a class, you know, I remember recently our Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj gave a class in GEV on the day of the Festival of Gratitude. And I remember landing into GEV and meeting one of my friend. He did not even say Hari Bol. He said, did you hear the class of Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj? that's the greeting statement. As soon as I meet him, did you hear the class of Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj? I said, I have not heard it. Maybe I'll go and hear it. But that's like, so, you know, we have that Roma Harshana sentiment, you know. Hairs are standing on end. Kya class diya, boss. And it's like, I mean, probably Sanjay did not expect that something like this is going to come. And Arjuna, Krishna just comes spontaneously, you know, out of his mercy and his kindness to Arjuna, starts speaking, and what Krishna speaks is, oof. And Sanjay is like a second-hand listener. And he says, wow. Kya class diya Bhagwan ne yaar, matlab tod fod diya, pura complete. Roma Harshanam. Then he's saying, Vyasa Prasadat Shrutvan Etan Guhyam Aham Param. Whatever he has spoken, I realize that it's very secretive. It's confidential knowledge. Param Guhyatamam. Right? But because of Vyasa Prasad, Vyas Dev's Prasad, I got to hear this. Right? Yogam Yogeshwarat Krishna Sakshat Kathayata Swayam. Are Yogeshwar Bhagwan Shri Krishna, he himself spoke this. Now I am realizing what I was listening to not some ordinary person, some Kanha from Braj. He is Yogeshwar, he spoke the knowledge. And then he says, now this is very important. He is saying, Rajan Samsmrutya Samsmrutya Samvadam Imam Adbhutam Keshavarjuna Yoho Punyam Rushyami Cha Mohur Moho. He's saying, I am remembering this Samsmrutya, I am just becoming so happy. Again and again. And this Rushyami Cha Mohur Moho, he is just so overwhelmed by this emotion. He continues with that. He says, Tatcha Samsmrutya, Rupam Adbhutam Harehe. Rupam Ati Adbhutam Harehe. Vismayome Mahan Rajan Rushyami Cha Punap Punap. So this is the reaction of Sanjay. So two listeners have given magnificent reactions, outstanding reactions. Third listener, no reaction. Blank. At least not captured in the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. Right? And if there was a positive reaction, it would have got captured. Why? Now this is again my observation, and again maybe wrong, please correct me. Who speaks the first verse of Bhagavad Gita? A blind person who is spiritually blind and materially also blind. Who speaks the last verse of Bhagavad Gita? One who has divine vision. The first verse is spoken by a person with no vision. The last verse is spoken by a person with divine vision. That is the famous verse. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha. Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhutir. That statement is basically the answer to the first question. That assembled on battlefield of Kurukshetra, what are they doing? I don't know what are they doing, but the outcome is here. The outcome is Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha. Question answer. Last verse is spoken by person having divine vision. First verse by no vision. In between the journey is Bhagavad Gita. From no vision to divine vision. If Dhritarashtra had developed the divine vision and he would have spoken, Nashto Moho, Mera Bhi Vahi Hua Yaar, now I am Gatasandhya, it would have been captured as a text. But it's not captured. So this is the classic time bomb moment. It is a time bomb story. The time bomb explodes when Vidura visits Dhritarashtra. Bhagavad Gita sun liya, but no reaction. It's a blank reaction. Nothing is happening. All of a sudden when Vidura comes, after the war is over, Vidura comes to his house and he speaks intense statements. Very intense statements. Right? And then in one night, gone. Leaves the palace with wife, and even person like Dhrishti Maharaj does not come to know where he has gone. Can you imagine that? Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, where this person disappeared? He goes to touch his feet. Dhritarashtra is gone. In one night from Grahastha to Vanaprastha, after reading Bhagavad Gita or whatever, spiritual knowledge, time bomb moment, right? It actually manifests there. The way Dhritarashtra disappears is so intriguing. And this is nothing connected to this, but this is just again some observation. You see, when Pandavas went to take Vanaprastha, right, they completed 13 years of their exile. 14th year they were worried. Abhi kahan pe chupenge? Because 14th year was supposed to be Agyatvas, right? 14th was the Agyatvas. Agyatvas means if you are found, you have to repeat the 13 years once again. Right? Now, 13 years once again. Sorry, what is that? 13 was Agyatvas. Sorry, I am wrong. So maybe 12 years are done. 13th year is Agyatvas. In Agyatvas, if you are found, you have to repeat the whole thing once again. Now, what is the fear? The fear is, boss, look at the personalities of people. Arjun is not a person whom you can hide. Even with a camouflage and all the things that you can do. Put daddy sometime, we see in movies, right? People put beard and... Now, Arjuna cannot be hidden with beard. And long hair. That's not possible. You see Arjuna's life. Anywhere he goes, the women fall in love with him. They want to marry him. He goes to that Naga Loka. That princess wants to marry him. He goes to Dwarka. Subhadra Devi wants to marry him. He goes to Virat, part of the Agyatvas. He wants to marry his daughter to him. He lands up the battle of Drupada. Drupada sees him actually as an enemy. He says, kya person hai yaar? Meri daughter hoti to isse vivaah karta main. What kind of personality? Such a magnetic person, Arjun. How can he be hidden? The only way it was possible is he becomes a eunuch. That is, and another person difficult to hide is Draupadi. How can you hide such a beautiful lady? How can you hide? So she became a Sairandri. Right? Now this is one quality of the, and actually what is the meaning of Sairandri? Sairandri means, Marathi mein usko sankamya bolte, sankamya. What's a sankamya? Those who are Marathi. Yeah. Sankamya means you tell any work to the person will do. There is no defined job description. So Sairandri means no defined job description. Sabzi leke aao, theek hai. Pankha saaf karo, theek hai. Cooking karo, theek hai. Sabzi kaato, theek hai. Potty kiya hai mere bachche ne, saaf karo. She will do it. From the queen of Hastinapur to cleaning the potty of some princess or the queen, that's abominable, right? But she could do it. That is her level of realization. Sometimes we feel that, you know, Lakshmiji could not enter into the Raslila because she did not agree to be a gopi. But look at this person. Just to cooperate with the Pandavas, she is willing to become a Sairandhri. And because she has accepted to become a Sairandhri, that becomes the greatest camouflage. That becomes the greatest change. So nobody can understand. You know, it's like those of you who read the detective books or suspense books. You know, if you want to hide something, the best way to hide is to rename it. So nobody can see. It can be right in front of you, but it's renamed. You understand? That's like in a computer. Suppose you have a secret document somewhere. Let's say it is my confidential investment documents. I write it as investmentdocument.xls. And so people understand, oh, it's an investment document. I'll hack that file. I'll brute force enter my password into it. But if I name it as mytripphoto.jpg, how can anyone understand that is the investment file? It's right there. It could be there on the desktop. You know, myfamilyphoto.jpg. Or my family, nobody will open the file. Who will understand? So best way to hide something is to rename it. And you may say, yaar, ye itna bada file hai, itna ye, itna kaise, photo kaise ho sakta hai? So Draupadi renamed herself as Sairandhri. So people are thinking, oh, she's a beautiful lady, how can she be a Sairandhri? But nobody could think of that she could be a queen of Hastinapur. Right? So she just renamed herself. So two major people taken care of. Arjuna taken care of, Draupadi taken care of, then the rest of it doesn't matter. They are able to camouflage themselves. You know, Bhima was able to camouflage, Yudhishthira was able to camouflage, Nakul Sahadev did some job here and there. They could easily manage. Two main people taken care of. Right? This is how the whole thing is there. Right? Still, you know, and why this whole thing was done? Because the spies of Duryodhan, they were so clever. The spies of Duryodhan could detect. But with this transformation, even the spies of Duryodhan failed. When Yudhishthira Maharaj became the king, he had that same spy network. And Dhritarashtra disappears without a single spy knowing about it. Just see, that level of detachment, that is a time bomb case. That's what I was trying to make out. No, none of the spies came to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Are Maharaj, do you know? You know, your uncle has left. And he did not go alone. He went with his wife. Can you imagine a man going with his wife and not a single spy coming to know about it? That's a king, you know. That's what you can understand Dhritarashtra personality. He disappeared without a single spy knowing about it. That is his brilliance. And nobody could know. Right? That level of detachment. That level of, and how it happened? So Bhagavad Gita Sunata, but manifested after a long time. You know, time bomb case. I mean, this is my, just looking at it. Now, why did I think of all these things? It's because I read this word Rajan, Rajan, Rajan 3 times in these last verses of Sanjay. 3 times he is saying Rajan, Rajan. You know, he's saying, so he's addressing Dhritarashtra. Are a king, this samvad that we just heard is so great. My dear king, you know, it is bringing so much of Harshami Puna Puna. It is, you know, Harshami Mur Mur. My king. So 3 times he is addressing Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra is a listener of Bhagavad Gita. That's how I realized. So then what I realized is that this person, Sanjay, he plays a real pivotal role in Bhagavad Gita. You see, the slokas which are spoken by Sanjay are superb. They are like pivotal slokas. Pivotal. So there is one such pivotal shloka spoken by Sanjay. Now we will come to the essence of this purport. So one shloka spoken by Sanjay, and that is the verse, I missed it somewhere. Yeah, that is the verse 2.9 of Bhagavad Gita. So Sanjay uvacha, eva muktva rishi kesham, Guda Keshap Parantapa Nayotsya Iti Govindam Uktva Tushnam Babhuvah. Right? So just like after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra became silent. No reaction. Similarly, Tushnim Babhuvah, that means becoming silent. So Arjuna, in the middle of Before the Gita is spoken, Arjuna is becoming silent. So now Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to induce him to fight. Tushnim Babuha, if you see the translation, Prabhupada says he became silent. Right? The address which Sanjaya has done to Krishna here is not Bhagwan. It's not Achyuta. It's not Krishna. It is Rishikesha. So of all the different addresses that Sanjaya could have made to Lord Krishna, he is specifically choosing the word Rishikesha. So this verse, this Rishikesha verse is the sum and substance of Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. It's actually the sum and substance of the entire Vedic literature to understand this Rishikesha. How do we understand it? Three ways to understand. One is given elaborately by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. But two other ways that I heard in one lecture of Srila Prabhupada on this verse only. So if you, there's one lecture of Prabhupada on this verse. If you hear it, Prabhupada mentions these things in and around the purport. And I like them very much. First and most important, Prabhupada says that one understands, what is the meaning of Rishikesha? It's mentioned in the purport also. Rishika means senses. Isha means the controller. So, Krishna is addressed here as controller of senses. So, Prabhupada says, to accept Krishna as Rishikesha means to accept that Krishna is in my heart and He will save me and protect me by controlling my senses. This is the faith that a devotee has. Right? So, sometimes, you know, grahasthas, or even people who are outside, when we look at the monks, you know, who are wearing saffron dresses, you know, we feel that, whoa, what kind of confidence? That this person will be able to control his senses, naishthika brahmacharya, throughout the life? How is it possible? You know, the foundation of naishthika brahmacharya is this verse, Rishikesha. Krishna, you are in my heart, I will not be able to control. But because you are there, you will control it. I am sure. This is at foundation. You know, there is a recently I heard in some YouTube video. It says, "Bhagwan kon hota hai? Wo to keval bhagwa pehchan sakta hai," like that. So saffron can understand who is Bhagwan, like that. There was somebody said like that. I mentioned. So Bhagwan kon hota hai? Wo to bhagwa pehchan sakta hai, like that. Because the Bhagwa has that faith. The Bhagwa has that faith that Krishna is in my heart and He will control my senses. Right? Another way of looking at it, Prabhupada says, very beautiful. He says that, you know, sometimes we wonder that, you know, the queens of Krishna, and we say, oh, they were so lucky. Right? And Krishna had 16,108 queens. So Prabhupada says, what is the difference between a normal person and Krishna? He says Krishna would expand into 16,108 forms and would spend the day with every queen. Right? So a queen did not have to worry that, oh, and I have to wait for 16,108 days. You know, even as Shrungar Seva would do, you know, they have to wait for 3 months to get the same service back. Right? But the queens, you know, they were almost having Krishna every day. Krishna would expand into 16,108 forms and go with each and everyone, would spend time with them every day. So Prabhupada says similarly, Krishna has already expanded as unlimited forms of Paramatma and already has come in our heart. He's already there in your heart. Right? He's already coming and he is the Rishikesha sitting there in your heart. He's already come. Now it's about you to always spend time with him. Really. So sometime there was a devotee who spoke to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and he said that, "Maharaj, I want to spend some time in seclusion." And Radhana Maharaj said that, "What is the need of seclusion? You have 2 hours of morning japa and you have 1.5 hour of deity worship. That is seclusion. So 2 hours of morning japa is actually seclusion. I mean, you actually you are with devotees, but actually there is Krishna in the heart and you are just praying. You are chanting the holy name and listening to the holy name. It's complete seclusion actually. Depending on the focus and attention that you have. He's saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Those 2 hours of you spending time with the holy name is not different than the queens of Krishna spending time with him every night. It's exactly on the same level. Just question of our understanding and our realization. There's absolutely no difference. Right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while Namo Mahavadanya, he made everyone says queens of Krishna. You are thinking, no, queens of Krishna are so special. The gopis also sometimes they think in the transcendental way, queens of Krishna are so special. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes everyone queens of Krishna. Everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the holy name. Everyone has facility now to become queen of Krishna. Spend time with Krishna every day 2 hours. Who is stopping you? Right? Therefore, devotees feel completely surprised. You know, sometimes on, especially in Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra, you know, earlier, now they have stopped it. But you could actually climb on the Rath and embrace Lord Jagannath. And I remember one particular Rath Yatra where I climbed. And you know, it was like a... So this, imagine this is Jagannath and all the devotees embracing him. And I tried to go from here, thrown out from here. I went from here, thrown out from here. I could just not reach Jagannath. That is it. I tried so much to go and embrace Lord Jagannath. Right? And then when I got down, I started realizing that actually this is, it's very nice. But to some extent, this is Kanishtha. You know? Because I have opportunity to embrace that same Lord Jagannath every day in the morning 2 hours. But there is no rush. There is no gardi. There is no pushing here and there. Nobody is doing it. You know, on the day of Janmashtami, so much of line, you know, all the way up to there. Oh, it's very good. Very nice. Brilliant. That so many people are coming to see Krishna. But the same Krishna is willing to come and dance on your tongue every day in the morning. What's the problem? Just pick up the bead bag, sit and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. Every day, 2 ghanta, darshan. Matlab, itna best darshan kya ho sakta hai ke Bhagwan tumhare jiva pe var nach rahe hai. Itna best darshan kya ho sakta hai Bhagwan ka. No other darshan is available like this. Right? So such a wonderful. But this is how Prabhupada encouraged us to come from Kanishtha level to Madhyam level. And try to understand the essence, right? So this is another way we can understand the concept of Rishikesha. Then that Rishikesha is controlling my senses. And then the third thing which Prabhupada elaborately describes here in the purport. So Bhagavad Gita goes in great extent. And Bhagavad Gita says that, yes, you know, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, in Indriyani Pararahu, what is Indriyabhya Paramana, Manasastu Parabuddhi, Yo Buddhe Parasastu Sah. He's saying that, you know, At the base are the sense object, the senses are superior to them, the mind is superior to senses, the intelligence is superior to the mind, and the spirit soul is even superior to the intelligence. So very clearly he is saying. So then once you understand that I have senses and they are inferior to me, okay, senses are inferior to me. Itna to pata chal gaya, Gita padke. So then there can be 2 types of mentalities. One, I will use them the way I like. Who can stop? Anything that crawls on the earth, I can eat. Who can stop? Right? Any sabzi, any animal, I can just eat anything. Who can stop? Even dolphins, for that matter. Or even whatever I want to eat. You know, whomever I want to have physical relation with, I can have. Who can stop? Yeah. Whether it is in my community, outside, in home, anywhere, whatever, in outside country, wherever I want to go, who can stop? Right? Ishwaroham aham bhogi. Right? Because they are my inferior. Senses are my inferior. You know, I was talking with one devotee, Yugathar Prabhu, and he was telling me there was one case of depression in the boys' hostel. So somehow that boy was not coming out only of the room. And ultimately they took him out of the room and then they were sitting in front of him. Bhai, kya hua? What is wrong with you? What is the problem with you? And the boy started saying that, you know, practically I have had relation with so many types of people and this and that. And he just started speaking out. And the doctor started laughing. He said, you are like a Purushottam, he said. Means in a sarcastic way. You know, you are just practically behaving like a supreme enjoyer. You are just not leaving any living entity. Just going on enjoy. So that led to a massive depression. This is the problem with that person. So he was thinking that he is an enjoyer. But that experience led him to a massive amount of depression, and he was not coming out of it. So finally somebody pulled him out of that depression. Oh, okay, now then he was feeling. And then, okay, whatever then happened, now he's a nice person. But yeah, just look at that case. And another person, he thinks that I am the controller of senses. So I am a yogi, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Senses cannot do any harm to me. You know, one time, in a very nice way, one time, this is a story which was told by one of the Prabhupada disciples. Now, I don't recollect who it was. So then, he was saying that Prabhupada got out of the car. And then somebody said that, who are you? So Prabhupada said that I am a yogi, a bhakti yogi or something like that. So then that person said, that means you can stand on the nails, you can sit on the nails, and you can perform, Prabhupada said, better than that. And he said, what is better than that? Prabhupada said, I could be surrounded by 100 naked women and still not disturbed. And he said, oh. His face became like that. So what? Of course, Prabhupada is transcendentalist. He's teaching us the greatest yoga. But the normal yogis, they have a feeling that, I'm completely negating my senses. I have become the master of the senses. So Prabhupada says, both these viewpoints are incorrect. You think yourself to be master of the senses is also not correct. You think yourself to be servant of the senses is also not correct. What is your job with the senses? You have to purify the senses. That's all. The whole life is meant about purifying your senses. That's all one is supposed to do. And that's where that most brilliant verse of Srila Rupa Goswami comes. That tat paratvena nirmalam rushikena rushikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So this is the crux of the entire philosophy, of all Vedic philosophy. To engage oneself senses in the senses of Lord Krishna. So then the question comes that, how do I engage my senses in senses of Lord Krishna? Woh toh incompatible ho gaya. My senses are material and Krishna is spiritual. How can my senses be engaged in the service of Krishna? So then, tat paratvena nirmalam. Make them purified. First make the senses purified. Once the senses are completely purified, then you can engage them in service of Krishna very nicely. That is the sum and substance of. So what Sanjay is trying to tell Rishikesh, Sanjay is trying to tell Dhritarashtra, and if you read the purport of that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that Sanjay is disappointing Dhritarashtra here. Prabhupada uses that word. Sanjay is disappointing Dhritarashtra. Right? So he is telling Dhritarashtra, up to this point, Arjuna did not have clarity. His senses were not yet pure. Now his senses are going to be purified. Why? Because the master of the senses, Rishikesham, is sitting there, and that is the person whom he is approaching now. He is not approaching anywhere else. He is approaching the master of the senses. Right? Because Dhritarashtra curiosity kya hai? Ki acha abhi kya hua? Oh, abhi Arjun depression mein gaya. Chalo, apna 50% kaam to ho gaya. Now, another 50% kaam would have been done if he goes to a wrong person for advice. Acha, iske paas gaya. Ab to mera kaam 100% ho gaya. Pahle depression mein gaya. You went in depression and then you went to wrong person to advise. So, mera 100% kaam ho gaya. Right? But what is happening here? He has gone into silent mode, but he is approaching Rishikesh. So now, this is your disappointment, Mr. Dhritarashtra. This is your disappointment. Because now his senses are going to be purified. And once senses are purified, what is he going to say? He is going to say, Karishya Vachanam Tava. That's what he says. Because senses are completely purified. And that's what Krishna comes, or he comes and says that, Karishya Vachanam Tava. Right? So this is a very important part for a devotee to understand this concept of Rishikesha. I am neither the controller of my senses, nor I am the servant of my senses. I am the purifier of my senses, if at all I have to be. And even I cannot purify, but I have to engage as per the direction of my guru, my spiritual master, so that my senses can be completely purified. And if the senses are purified, then your 99.9% work is done. Because now your senses have become purified. And I recently came across a very, heart-wrenching experience. I mean, Something which really I just felt like, wow. I mean, how can this be ever there? Like, you know, we are all fallen souls and we don't go through this experience. So whenever we hear about, you know, Rupa Goswami approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu says that your humility is breaking my heart. You know. So I had not undergone that experience ever in my life that, you know, somebody's humility is so great that it literally breaks your heart and you feel that, how can this person be so humble? And the only reason why that is possible is because his senses are completely purified. That is when the last Sunday, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was, it was the last Sunday or last to last Sunday. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class. And then he made a very nonchalant statement. You know, a statement which is apparently like, he says, when I was in college, now, does this statement indicate anything to you? He said, when I was in college. And then he immediately says, only one semester. And then he said, I don't want to take credit for anything more than what I deserve. When I heard this, I said, whoo. When I was in college, ye bolne mein kya problem hai? You know. Do you feel, somebody says, oh, when I was doing my PhD, when I was in my MBA, and I remember there was one person in my office. You know, whenever I would talk with him, after every 3-4 statements, when I was in my MBA, etc., etc., etc. When I was doing my MBA, etc. So that is understandable. You know, that is something that, when I was in my college, isme kya hai? What is there to, but that person is so sensitive that when I was in my college could become a statement that you become proud of. Immediately he said, only one semester. And he said, I don't want to take pride, credit of anything of more than what I deserve. When I heard that, I was like, oof. I was doing translation. I actually became silent for 1 minute because I couldn't understand how to even translate this. No, I was completely silenced. So this is a tat paratvena nirmalam. Somebody whose senses are completely purified, uska ek ye glimpse. This is a glimpse of that what you can get when you see the life of a saintly person. You know, this is what a person can be. So sensitive. Because senses are completely purified. Because with purified senses, what you see is not what you see with material senses. It's not possible. A purified sense sees a completely different picture. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Thavar jangam na dekhi, dekhi tar murti. Sarvatra hoya nija ishta deva spurti. You know, purified senses. Lord everywhere. Yeah. How is it possible? People often say, I don't want to come to temple because God is everywhere. So God is everywhere. Do you have purified senses? That is the problem. This is a place not to come to see God. This is a place to come to purify senses. And how you do it? By seeing Krishna. because you have eyes, you always want to see something beautiful. Right? And Bombay city is full of billboards of beautiful human beings that you can keep on watching. Right? But that will not purify the senses. That will simply agitate the senses. Come here and see the most beautiful divine couple. That will purify the senses. So that's what Prabhupada is trying to say. So Prabhupada says that that's why we are building the temples. And then, sorry, I think we just have two, three minutes left. That this particular verse, and Prabhupada speaks about the concept of Rishikesh and then completely explains it. But there are two more nice things spoken in this. I just want to just touch upon it. One, it is mentioned that the mind is also born out of mode of goodness. It's there in the translation. And the demigods, such as those demigods which are spoken of in the purport, in the translation, those are also born out of mode of goodness. So, if you read our Manashiksha, right, Prabhuji, the Manashiksha book, it's an instruction to the mind. Right? You can give instruction to only a person who is in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, a person is not going to understand. Person in the mode of passion and ignorance will not understand anything that you are talking. Right? So why instructions to mind are given? And that is across everywhere. In Maharashtra also, there was one great saint, Ramdas. He has written Manase Shlok. Because man can be spoken to. And our Raghunandas Goswami has written Manas Shiksha. Because you can speak to the mind. You can train the mind. Oh, my dear mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, you know, manaso deho ge, what is that bhajan where he says that? Bhajau re manasi nanda nandana abhaya charanaravindare. Beautiful. This is Vasudeva Ghosh or Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sorry, Govindadas, sorry, my bad. Yeah. So, who can be given instruction to? Only that thing which is in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, the person will just get up and go away. Like Dhruva Maharaj was given instruction by Narad Muni. Dhruva Maharaj said that, sorry, I can't understand anything that you are talking about. If you want to tell me something, tell me how can I attain Krishna. Baki ye sab bol rahe ho, mere samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. Mode of passion. But mind is born of mode of... So, one great saint Tukaram, he says that, mana karare prasanna sarva siddhi se karanat. That is one statement that he makes. If you just make your mind completely pacified, you will attain all siddhis in your life. Why? Because making the mind pacified means bringing it back to the mode of goodness. So the entire process of devotional service is to keep our mind in the mode of goodness. If the mind is in the mode of goodness, none of the other things will impact you. Right? So that is something very important. So that is one thing which I learned. Mind is in the mode of, Purujan Prabhu also writes this. That if you just tell them, if you just bring the mind back while chanting, why is it said that whenever the mind goes here, you can bring it back? Because the mind is in the mode of goodness. You can bring it back. That facility is available. Right? Just like a small child, you know, the child goes here, you can pull the child back. Now try to do that with a person. Like, for example, he is going, I catch his hand and pull him back. Right? He'll say, hey, jane de mereko. Right? But a child, you can bring him back. No problem. That facility is there with the mind. The mind goes here, pull it back. Pull it back. Pull it back. Use it. The facility is there, use it. Aisa nahi ki mind gaya, 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 gaya. Aisa bhi hota hai. But don't let it happen. Before that happens, pull it back. That facility is available. Because mind is essentially coming from a mode of goodness. And another thing which is mentioned, that the demigods like Vata, Vanni, they are all in the mode of goodness. So I was sharing it with Prabhuji also the other day. There's a very wonderful description of the battle between the devatas and the demons in some Puranas, in Harivamsh Puran. And this is a very, because Harivamsh talks about the birth of Lord Krishna, because he's Harivamsh, so you have to understand. So it also speaks about the great demon Kalanemi, the history of Kalanemi and who Kalanemi was. So that battle of Kalanemi is called as a Tarkamaya Sangram. I don't know if you have heard of this ever. It's called as Tarkamaya Sangram. So by thinking, you feel like Tarkamaya matlab kuch Star War wagara ho raha hai. So Tarkamaya means there is Tara demon, there is Maya demon, and in between there is Ka. That is, Ka is Kalanemi. So Tara, Kalanemi and Maya, all three are on the side of demons, and they are, it's called as Tarkamaya Sangram. So the demigods of it. At one point in time, it so happens that the demigods are not able to win. And they are just not able to understand what to do. Right? So Lord Vishnu appears there. And Lord Vishnu says, just like here Krishna is appearing to Arjuna. Arjuna is confused what to do. He does not know. So Krishna has to come there. Now there is this particular disease of too much of goodness, which sometimes happens to people. Too much goodness. So Krishna has to come and say, boss, you know, rise above it. Rise above. You know, whatever you are saying is correct, but rise above that. More important than your good feeling is my good feeling. I feel good is more important than you feel good. So fight. You fight, I feel good. So Krishna has to say that. So similar situation here. Demigods are confused. They don't know what to do. So Lord Vishnu came and he said, my dear demigods, you are Vayu. You are Agni. Both of you, if you combine together, then the amount of havoc that you can create, nobody understands it. Why don't you just combine together and finish off everything? And they say, wow, what an idea. So then Vayu and Vanni, they both come together and they're able to finish off everything. They just completely destroy, ransack the entire party of. So after the whole war is over, Lord Vishnu tells them, he says, my dear demigods, he says, the fact with you is that you are all born out of mode of goodness. So some certain things that you will not think of doing also. You will not think of creating a ransack with fire and air mixed together and finishing everything. You will not think of that. because you are born in mode of goodness. So I have to come and tell you sometimes that you do something like this, right? So that's something which I just wanted to hint at that particular event, that these are demigods which are born in the mode of goodness, right? So similarly, after Narad Muni instructed Indra, you know, they immediately followed, okay, we should not kill the child in the womb. It's only possible in mode of goodness, otherwise not possible, you know. Following instruction of a saintly person is not possible unless there is mode of goodness. Demigods follow it. Whenever Narad Muni comes, they follow it. Born on mode of goodness. So similarly, the simplest way for us to slowly, slowly make a progress towards mode of goodness is by first purifying our senses as per the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, any comments? Okay, fine. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
ऐसा आता है कि एक व्यक्ति आया है उनके जीवन में